So just to give you a short testimony about what's been going on in my life, this summer has been a hard summer for me. And I know, like, when it comes to hard, there's different levels of hard. But as a pastor, you get burdened for your people. You're burdened for hardships in your people's lives. You're burdened for conflict in the body. You just get burdened. And it's not something you just shake off and ignore at the end of the day and go home. And with that said, I started out the summer in June with that Turkey mission trip, which was wonderful. Got back, excited to keep moving forward with summer. And then, of course, the tragic news struck with Benny's passing on July 5th. And then I was off to Uganda to help deal with the care of his remains and ministering to the people there in Uganda, and then coming home. And it was burdensome. I have to say, it really affected me deeply. And when I returned back, I had a wedding the very next day after landing at LAX in the afternoon. Had a wedding Saturday, and then the following week I had a memorial, and then another memorial, and it was just kind of like nonstop. And I found myself toward the end of August just so burdened. And I told Laura, my wife, that I just feel like I can't remember stuff. I feel like I'm just like hurting. And I don't know, I need some time alone, I think. So Laura said, go hunting. So I left in August, went hunting for the week, and it was great. I was just alone in God's creation, and I went totally by myself and just got time to wait on the Lord and came back feeling stronger and refreshed. But it was a heavy, burdensome summer. Well, this month, actually yesterday, I started looking at what God has done this month, and I've been really amazed. Because we went out of the season of, I went out of a season of hardship and trial where it just seemed like one thing after the next, to see that God is expanding our territory as far as Calvary Chapel Old Town goes. God's expanding our missions, our work in the mission field, our work in ministries here in this community. And I just see what the Lord is bringing through as we remain faithful to Him and continue serving Him. Of course, we're going to pray for Trevor and Lauren in just a minute as they get ready to go to the Middle East. We'll pray for you guys in just a moment. But you all got to hear Lauren share about her upcoming time in the Middle East and what a privilege it is to see one of our very own heading out into the mission field. It's always been one of our prayer requests that we'd raise up people and send them. And then, of course, Pastor Rod left for Mongolia and he's been looking at those new ministries in Mongolia. And I had a meeting last week with the mobilizer for Mongolia, and it was an incredible meeting. As we met, he was sharing kind of the needs of their ministry, and I was hearing him out. And I said, I think we might be able to help you with some resources. And specifically, I shared about Simply the Story and God's Story, this method of teaching through orality. He was really intrigued by it because they're reaching out to the outskirts, to the GERs and these individuals that they're non-literate. So how do you reach them with the Word of God if they can't read the Word of God? And so I hooked him up with the director of Simply the Story and God's Story, and he got really excited. So I think our church is going to be going back to train and do workshops for that and work on the outskirts of Mongolia. And also I've had three other big mission meetings this week. Rwanda, well, that was actually last week, and another one for Colombia this week. So God's been really opening up doors for us, and I want to share about Rod. Rod was there in Mongolia, and he gave me a call Friday night. This is a church in a smaller church in Agur, and there they are worshiping. The next picture is Rod preaching. And Friday night, Rod, I get a message from a number I don't know on WhatsApp. It's urgent. I'm Pastor Rod's translator. We need to speak immediately. I said, oh, no. And so I called the number, and I said, Rod, are you okay? And he said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I just wanted to find out. We were doing ministry, and a family accepted the Lord as their Savior. And as we spent time with them and talked to them, we realize that their house is falling apart. There's no way they can make it through the winter. And they have a special needs child that all the money that they earn goes towards medical care for this child. So I'm wondering if, could we help maybe buy them a GER so they can get through the winter? And I said, well, Rod, how much is a GER? He said, about $2,000. I was like, I don't even know why you're asking, Rod. You should just go do it. And he said, well, I figured you would just do it anyway, but I wanted to ask. And I was like, yeah, I would. And so we talked about that, but I just see how God is starting to move there in Mongolia, and with Rod being there right now, and it's really amazing what's happening there. And then yesterday, we had the Love Life Prayer Walk. And if you were there, that was incredible. The amount of people that showed up from this fellowship to walk with us. Now, we had people that came and prayed with us Wednesday. Some of you prayed at home. Some of you were praying through the week. And then we had people that showed up yesterday. And here's a picture of this crowd yesterday. It just was really incredible, the number of you that showed up for this prayer walk. Here's a picture of us walking down the street toward Planned Parenthood, not to protest, but to petition God through prayer for innocent life. And so we walked down to Planned Parenthood, and we stood outside. Go to the next picture. And got in prayer groups. We gave prayer topics. People started praying. Now, Love Life has sidewalk counselors, and the sidewalk counselors are people who are trained to hand out literature about life and resources available for mothers who are pregnant and are scared and don't know what to do. Morning after pill resources if they want to reverse that. And so afterwards, the sidewalk counselors were talking to me as we were cleaning up, and they said, man, today was amazing. And I said, really? Because I kind of felt like we just prayed and nobody was there. They're like, no, you don't understand. 7 out of the 8 cars that drove into Planned Parenthood took literature from us. I was like, is that a good thing? He's like, no, that's Tom Brady's stats. That's what he told me. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, we don't have people just accepting the literature like that. Usually we're stoked if one person accepts the literature because it has all the resources for life. And on top of that, they said that a family decided to keep their baby and not go through with the abortion, which is another incredible aspect. And they counseled, yeah. So it was really a beautiful prayer walk. Now, I'm excited about the ministry that our church is going to continue to be involved in. We're a house of refuge, and part of as being a house of refuge is we're gonna meet women where they're at as far as needs and resources to bring forth life. And some of you have already participated in this. We had a baby shower back in August for Zoe. And she gave birth on Friday. Here's the baby that she gave birth to, baby Jadoni. So that's really exciting. So baby Jadoni was born on Friday at 1:40 p.m., 7.4 pounds, 21 inches. Isn't that amazing? And so we're excited to be a house of refuge and continue ministry. Now, if you're interested in being a part of Love Life, and we want it to be based on conviction from the Lord, not compulsion from anyone in this church, including myself. See, compulsion makes you regret and do ministry with regret and can't wait to get out of it. Conviction carries you through the burdens of ministry because it's something the Lord's put on your heart that you must do. And it's from between you and the Lord. And so if you're interested in getting more involved, Love Life has a prayer meeting that happens on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning right in front of the Planned Parenthood here on Tustin Avenue, 1.4 miles away from our church. And you can go online, you can contact them, let them know. If you want me to reach out, connect you with the people who do that, I can do that as well. There's also some of you that have expressed interest in being a sidewalk counselor, learning how to do that and ministering there on the sidewalks. We can connect you with that and get you the training for those things. Or maybe you just want to be part of a team that throws baby showers for moms who need the help, or taking women to Living Well Pregnancy Center, or those sorts of things. So please let us know if you want to be involved more in that. We're excited to be a part of it. And I'm just so impressed and amazed with what God is doing through our little fellowship. It's incredible. So All right, let's get into the word tonight. So, but before, by the way, Trevor, would you mind closing that door there? Thanks. So, tonight we're going to do a passage through orality, but before we get started, there's a couple things I wanted to set up the story for. And before our story begins, Jesus had just been, he's been doing ministry. He had left from the northernmost parts of Israel and started making his way down. And he, actually, he's headed for Jerusalem for the cross. And after, as he made his way down, he has been confronted by different people about different issues. And of course, we most notably remember the scribe who had asked him, "Who is my neighbor?" in an effort to, can you use the other door? Nope, never mind. Okay, now it's all messed up. Can you open up the left door and shut the right door? And then, there we go. So, by the way, guys, if you have to leave to go into the courtyard, please use that exit where Katie's at. Thanks. Okay. Where was I at? Sorry, there's a lot of distraction going on. I got to... All right, got it. I'm good. It's hard being up here. You guys don't even know. You don't even know. So Jesus had been talking to the scribe about who is my neighbor. Now, there's something about the culture of Jesus' day that the most honored guest would get the best portion of the meal. So it's not like today where you go to KFC and you buy a bucket of chicken and everybody gets to choose their favorite piece. They would choose out the best portion and give it to the honored guest. So just one thing to keep in mind. With that said, let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, we thank you so much for your Word, and we thank you, Lord, for being here together and that we can learn from you. So God, we ask that you might give us understanding, that you might teach us, Lord, that you might help us to not only understand, but be doers of the word. So we pray now, Lord, for you to meet us here in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is our story from God's word. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus came to a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. Martha was distracted by much serving, and she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to serve? Tell her then to help me." And Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her." That's our story from God's Word. Fairly short story, but there's some deep meaning in it. So I'm wondering if... you guys like that story? Do you like that story? I'm wondering if somebody would be willing to tell back what they can remember of the story. And I'll get you started with now as they went on their way. Anybody think they can tell back part of the story? Yeah, Keith, go ahead. Yeah. Now as they went on their way is how the story starts. Oh, hey, you did a great job. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, well, let me go ahead and let's go through the story together. Let me lead you through it a little bit more, and so let's see if we can get some more details. So as they went on their way, Jesus came to a village. Does anybody remember what happened there? A woman named what? Martha welcomed him into her home. Good job. You guys remember that. And Martha had a sister. Anybody remember the name of the sister? Mary. And Mary was doing something. It was jumping jacks over in the corner. What was Mary doing? And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what was she was doing? Listening to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Yeah. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she came to Jesus, and anybody remember what she said to Jesus? Lord, don't you, what? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to serve? Anybody remember how Jesus responded? You close. What was it? Martha, Martha. Anybody remember what else? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled by many things. One thing is necessary. Martha has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. Yeah, great, great job. Hey, I wonder, what might it be like to welcome Jesus into your home? I mean, because you're also welcoming his disciples too. What might that have been like for Martha? Overwhelming? Okay. Chaotic? A lot of foot washing? Okay. What else?
Pressure.
Pressure?
That's a good one.
Nobody's excited about having Jesus come to their home?
Come on.
I'd be excited. Like, come on. It's pretty. What else might it be like to have Jesus come to your home?
Humble.
Humble. Why do you say humble?
Honored.
Honored? Yeah. Yeah. So we've got honored, excited. What else do we say? Nervous. Proud to have Jesus. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into the story a little bit more. In the beginning part of our story, it said, as they went on their way, Jesus came to a village, and a woman there named Martha welcomed him into her home. And Martha had a sister who was called Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. I'm going to stop right there. And let's just talk about this first part of the story and see what we can learn. Just from the very beginning of the story, what can we learn about Martha? What's that? She's an extrovert. Okay, why do you say that? Welcoming strangers. Yeah, welcoming strangers. Okay. Yeah. Anything else we can learn from? All of a sudden, I thought about something, but I don't want to say it. I want to give everybody else a chance to say it. What else can we learn about Martha from the fact that she welcomes Jesus to her home?
She knows who he is.
She, okay.
She knows maybe not exactly who he is as we do today, but she knows of him that it would be an honor to have him in her home.
Okay. Honor to have him in her home. Excited. Yeah. What else?
Hospitable.
What's that?
Hospitable.
Hospitable. Yeah. What?
Because she's welcoming because of him, and then the fact that she's about serving to concern with what's happening with Much Serving.
Yeah, yeah. She's concerned that everybody's taken care of and she's welcoming them. That's a good observation that Martha's very hospitable. Do you all like hospitable people? Yeah, we all love hospitable people. It's a beautiful trait to have. Anything else we can learn about Martha from the very beginning of this story? She's hospitable. She's welcoming. Anything else?
Anxious?
She is anxious, yeah. We'll get more there in a little bit.
She's a giver.
She's a giver? Why do you say a giver? Okay, willing to give and not really so much looking for something in return. Okay, yeah.
Hard working.
Yeah, we can definitely see that because she's distracted by with much serving. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say observant because she doesn't like lazy people. She calls over her sisters.
She doesn't like lazy people. Okay, yeah.
Has her home. Like, it's her home and her time. So that's really bold to go out and bunch of men into your home.
What do you mean?
She's bold? Yeah, going out and inviting Jesus, his disciples, and probably more to come into her home. Yeah, as a woman. Yeah. Yeah. Seems pretty welcoming. You know, hospital and welcoming go in the same place, but in order to welcome Jesus to her home, what did she have to do? What was that? She had to go to him. So what can we learn about Martha from the fact that she went to him to welcome him? She takes initiative. Yeah, anything else?
She's also not afraid to go to him again, like with her concern. Like, hey, I'm so mistreated, or like it's just not helping.
She's not afraid to go speak to Jesus, yeah, and deal with her problem. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of good traits about Martha. I mean, there's some really noble traits we're seeing about Martha, her character. Let's talk about her sister Mary. From the very first part of the story, anybody remember what Mary was doing in the first part of our story?
Sitting at the feet of Jesus
and doing what?
Listening
to his teaching. So what can we learn about Mary from this very first part of the story? She had her what? She had her, well, you're saying that because of the end of the story. But you think that's a matter, an issue of priorities?
Well, I think your focus is first on Jesus and everything else falls behind.
Okay. Okay, somebody was speaking from back there. I think I heard somebody say.
She's a believer.
She believes in Jesus and follows him. And again, why do you say that?
Because she's diligently listening to his words.
She's diligently listening to him teach, yeah. Yeah.
Inquisitive.
She seems inquisitive. And why do you say that?
Well, she wants to know exactly who he is. Sitting at his feet, close as he can possibly get, to hang on every word he says. So you want to hear exactly what he has to say.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've actually never thought about that in the story, that being at his feet is as close as you can possibly get. Yeah, it's like the front row sitters, right, in the classroom. You know the people that the students that are going to do the best sit always in the front, right, because they're like, I don't want to get distracted. Yeah. That's interesting. I like that observation.
Humble. Did you know that sitting at the foot of Jesus, like, you know, when washing the feet, that feet are stinky during
this? Feet are stinky, and she's there at the feet. She's humble.
I think it's like a different mentality to say, like, hey, Jesus is in my home. Come in here. You're a hostess. You get to just sit there and listen to the feet.
Okay. Yeah. happy to have, be there, have Jesus in her home and listen to him.
I think Mary's bold also in this, because even now culturally, like if I come to your house, I wouldn't be the person who sat the closest to you as a woman to a man.
Wow.
So even like culturally now, I think that would be still bold for a woman to sit that close to a man.
So there's a boldness there. Yeah.
Also, she didn't sit in equal height, sitting in between this. Yeah. Showing herself.
She put herself on the floor.
Because you gone to the grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah. Yeah. Julie was saying we do that in Uganda too, and I've experienced that in Uganda, that those women and children take a submissive role in the culture. They bow when they serve you food. So, yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think Mary wants in welcoming Jesus, or sorry, Martha wants in welcoming Jesus to her home? You think she might want some recognition? Okay, maybe.
I think she just wants to serve him well, to make sure it's done right.
She wants to serve him well. Yeah, I mean, she's definitely giving herself over to serving. Yeah. Yeah.
Like she's trying to work for this.
Maybe she's trying to work for approval. Yeah, maybe.
Flatter.
Huh? You think she wants to flatter Jesus or be flattered?
Flatter Jesus.
Flatter Jesus. Okay. Do you ever welcome people to your home? Any of you guys welcome people to your home? You do? My wife and I always have people over our house. In fact, often I go home and I have no idea who's going to be there. There's been some nights where I'm like, guys, just lock the door when you leave. I got to go to bed. But when you welcome people to your home, why do you welcome people to your home?
To get to know them.
To get to know them?
To express your love for them.
Express love to them. Show them kindness. Bond.
Fellowship.
Yeah. What do you got, Charlotte? I see your hand up.
To
show
forgiveness to the loving ones in
their
house.
Okay. To bring in people and show good kindness and loving ones. And, so far I don't hear most of you saying, you generally welcome people in your homes to gain notoriety or favors. It's more of a relational issue why you welcome people in your homes. Do you think that could be the same for Martha welcoming Jesus to her home? That she wants to have a relationship with Jesus? What do y'all think? Is that possible? What do you think Mary wants out of Jesus being in the home?
She wants to learn from him.
She wants to learn from him. Yeah. What's that?
Enlightened.
She wants to be enlightened and give an understanding. Okay. So he's saying that she doesn't want to squander that opportunity to learn from Messiah directly, because this is an opportunity. Yeah.
As a sister, when I go to my sister's home, it's her territory, so I allow her to kind of serve and run.
Okay.
And I sit back and take in, so I just see the difference. It's Martha's home, not Mary's as well.
So you, as a sister, you let your sister, when she welcomes people, you kind of let your sister run her territory. And you sit back and let her do that. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, good point. Do you think Mary also wants a relationship with Jesus, or do you think she just wants to get from Jesus? You do? Why is that?
Because she knows who he is and what he can do for her. So. She knows he's the Savior. So I don't think
Yeah, I don't think she expects anything material. Just there's love and salvation.
So you feel like she's drawn to that love and salvation. Okay, yeah. So in the story it said Martha was distracted with much serving. What might that have been like for Martha?
Jealous.
What's that?
Jealous.
How so?
Your sister's got the front seat. She's doing all the work.
A little jealous, yeah, because Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, and sister's got the front seat, and she's stuck working. Fair enough, yeah. Maybe even a little resentful of her sister. Yeah?
Frustrated?
Yeah.
She's doing all the work, and Mary can have the front row seat.
She's doing all the work, and Mary's sitting in the front row. Yeah.
I think I feel like she could be frustrated, but I think it's also like she wants to serve Jesus well. And it's not that like her sister's, it's not resentment, but it's like, I want to sit and learn too, but I also want to make sure that these people feel loved and welcomed in my home. So probably just a little sad. Like,
okay.
I feel like there's times when I have people over and I don't sit and I don't get a talk and then everyone leaves. And I'm like, oh dang. Like I missed the opportunity because I wanted to make sure everyone got to rest. Not because I wasn't mad at anyone else, but I wanted to make sure everyone else was taken care of. And then I'm like, oh, I missed.
So it was important. I'm going to try to summarize this for everybody in the back. So it was important for Martha to take care of everyone. So she may be a little bit sad that she's missing out on actually being able to have that relationship or that experience with Jesus. Okay? Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
Some people just naturally are doers, too.
Some people are naturally doers. And so, yeah.
How I want the flow to kind of the night to go, and like serve this time, these desserts. You have it all in your head, and it doesn't always go that way. But you try your best. You don't want to just have like a party that, yeah, that people's needs are not met.
Yeah. So
orders, dinner, desserts, this, that.
Julie's saying she knows when she hosts that she has kind of some expectations of how things should go for serving and a flow, and it doesn't always go that way. Yeah. But do you think Martha's kind of dealing with some even failed expectations possibly? How do you all do with expectations that fail? Everybody do great with that? They love that? Stuff has to get done, right? And so Martha can't just go, okay, forget it. I'm going to go sit there.
She probably could have. Maybe that was the point.
Oh, okay.
That's why I don't know. Because, I mean, you can just let it go, but there is an expectation. Yeah. But it's like, Lord, can't you just, can you see? Like, I do all the work here, and my sister, I want to get there too.
Okay. Yeah, maybe she has every intention to get to that place too, but it says Martha was distracted with much serving. Do you think she may have been a little overwhelmed? I've been there serving people and been overwhelmed. Yeah. Well, let's go on to the second part of our story. In the second part of the story, it says Martha came up to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to serve? Tell her then to help me. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. In the second part of our story, Martha decides to do something. What does she do? What's that? Oh, I thought you were saying something. Sorry. Sorry. You're like, this is my first time in church. You're calling me out. Sorry. Apologize for that. What was that? She pleads her case to Jesus. Okay, she comes to Jesus. Now, it says, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to serve? Tell her then to come and help me. Is she totally pleading her case to Jesus?
Kind of. She didn't step out. She didn't pull Mary aside. She talked to
Okay, so she could have pulled Mary aside, but instead she went to Jesus. Okay? Could she have said this to Jesus in a different way? What else could she have done?
Maybe not sit, not teach until she could sit.
Jesus, could you please hold up on your teaching until I can sit down? Okay? Maybe? Yeah?
She could have told Jesus she feels overwhelmed.
She could have told Jesus, Jesus, I feel overwhelmed. Okay? But she didn't. She said, Jesus, don't you care? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to serve? So is she asking Jesus for something yet in that first part?
She's
telling Jesus what to do.
Telling Jesus how to feel.
Telling Jesus how to feel? Okay. When someone comes to you and go, don't you care that I'm doing this? Or maybe it was like, don't you care? Whatever the inflection is, it's kind of the same message, right? Because what are we really saying? Have you overlooked me? You don't care. Because you haven't already made this decision. You haven't seen me. Because she could have said these other things that we talked about, but she didn't. Does that reveal anything about Martha?
She suffers from an eye disease.
She suffers from an eye disease, but I'm assuming you mean the letter I and not the eye of our... Okay. She suffers from an eye disease, okay. Yeah, I mean, we saw in the beginning of the story, Martha is welcoming, she's hospitable, she's giving of her time and her energy, she cares about people being served. But something happened. What's that? Feeling forsaken, yeah, left out, overlooked. Yeah. Do you think Jesus cared about Martha?
Well, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me all alone to serve. Tell her then to come and help me.
Or do I have to do everything?
Do I have to do everything?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, interesting, huh? Excited to have Jesus in her home. But now, do you think she's feeling a little bit of frustration that Jesus has come to her home?
It's also possible that under normal circumstances, Mary would be helping her out. But in this particular instance, she's not doing what she's supposed to do.
It's possible that in normal circumstances, Mary would be helping her out. But in this circumstance, Mary's sitting there and not helping. Okay. Well,
he won't interrupt you.
Okay.
Like, you know, he's still in know that I'm God, you know? She's like, okay, you want to talk now? Okay.
Yeah.
He's still like that.
Jesus is still the same. I want to make sure I repeat it for the back. Jesus is still the same. He'll let you busy yourself until you come to him. Okay. Well, do you think that... do you think Martha was happy at this point to have Jesus in her home?
She was in the beginning.
Was in the beginning?
It was like your statement earlier about ministry. It was like, do you feel forced to do it or led into it? And I think she felt led into it, and then she also felt forced to do it because she wasn't getting the help.
Okay, so she felt excited, led into welcoming Jesus, but then now she feels like it's just being forced, and there's no joy anymore in having Jesus in her house. Yeah.
Maybe some resentment over it.
Maybe some resentment, yeah. Too bad, huh? Jesus is in the house.
Well, because her sister, Gina, so she probably resents having her in the home, having him in the home because of the resentment she has for her sister over being able to experience the situation and take in the experience while she is serving.
Do people need to be served?
Yes.
But, yeah, it needs to happen. But it said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to serve? Tell her then to help me. Jesus replied to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken from her. Huh. Does Jesus see Martha? Why do you think that's that he sees her? What's that? He's comparing her to Mary. Okay.
Describes
what she is, like he can see what she is. She's distracted by
serving. She's anxious.
She's
so he sees it. He sees the truth
in
who she is.
Yeah, he sees that she's anxious and troubled. He understands that. Jesus understood how she was feeling the whole time, but he waited for her to approach him. Okay. Yeah.
I wonder, because Jesus said you're anxious and troubled about many things. Martha only brought up one thing, so I wonder if you need to point me how many things she had thought of that were upsetting her. And I feel like Jesus is announcing that to her. It's probably a check for her to realize, wait a second, Jesus knows what's going through.
Okay. Did you want to say something? No. Oh, wait, hold on. I can't quite hear. Can you pass that?
Martha was a self-righteous doer.
What's that?
A self-righteous doer.
Martha was self-righteous doer. Yeah, okay, yeah. Self-righteous doer. Yeah, sometimes we do work out of self for things, yeah.
I think as Martha, I would be humbled by the fact that Mary was sitting there, and I would go sit there too at his feet as well, and I would feel like he's not impressed with me being an overachiever. He's impressed with the fact that I want to sit there and listen to what he has to teach us, and that's why his purpose is to be there.
Okay. Not necessarily impressed by the achievements, but being at his feet. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus said, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Jesus was rebuking her, but in a very gentle way. Okay. What is a rebuke? Just out of curiosity, let's find out what a rebuke is.
Correction.
A correction? Yeah.
Chastisement.
Chastisement. That would be more like punishment. But rebuke, correction.
Redirection.
That's a rejection. Rejection. Oh, that's interesting. We have different views about the word rebuke. That's interesting. Do you mean by that Jesus was rejecting Martha?
No. That was
the idea of rejection.
The idea is rejection? Okay.
Not rejecting her as a person, but rejecting her idea.
Rejecting her idea. Okay. Yeah. So, is a rebuke intended to push somebody away? To what?
To correct
a behavior. Why do we correct children's behavior? Oh, there it is. Ding, ding, ding. To teach them. Yeah, not to push them away. To teach them. So if Jesus is giving this mild, gentle rebuke to Martha, what is he trying to teach her?
That he was there to teach.
That he was there to teach? What's that?
To rest.
To rest? Okay.
That the word is the most important thing.
The word is the most important thing? Okay, she's distracted by many things, but the Messiah is there.
Being with him is better than doing stuff for him.
Being with him is better than doing stuff for him, okay? Yeah. So what's the one thing that's necessary?
Sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus? How many of you guys think it's sitting at the feet of Jesus? Okay, we got a couple in here. The reason why I'm asking this question is I want to see what everybody thinks the one thing that's necessary is. Listening to Jesus, which would be the same as sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? Listening to Jesus, okay.
Not being distracted.
Not being distracted, okay. What's that?
Being open to teachable
moments, okay. You just quoted the song. She lost that love and feeling. Sorry. I'm sorry for laughing. I couldn't help it. Yeah. Okay. But he was.
I think her heart wasn't there. Her heart of servitude wasn't in there. I mean, I personally don't think that there was a problem with the servitude. It was the heart.
There wasn't a problem with serving. It was the issue of the heart. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah.
It was all about being in the presence of God.
About being in the presence of God. Okay. Yeah. Well, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good portion and it will not be taken from her. What's that? Focus on Jesus. Trying to what?
Trying to focus on what Jesus wants.
Trying to focus on what Jesus wants. Okay, yeah.
Mary chose to submit, whereas Martha chose to serve. And I think that Martha
Martha's choosing to serve before submission led to her heart being not where it should be, whereas Mary's heart into submission would then lead to a serving through faith and repentance, whereas Martha didn't do that at the start.
All right, you're going to have to stand up and say that loudly because I'm not going to try. Yeah, because I can't repeat all that you said.
Mary chose to submit, whereas Martha chose to serve. And Martha didn't come to submission and repentance first. She chose to serve, whereas Mary chose to submit. And this servant, his heart will come later.
Okay.
Martha jumped too quickly. She wanted to serve, serve, serve. Whereas Martha...
You're fading off there. They got to hear you in the back.
Back here.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to grab hold of your idea, but I think what you're saying is that we see that Mary actually approached Jesus with an attitude and a heart of submission, and Martha was approaching first out of just serving and doing versus submission first, and therefore kind of missing out on that idea. Is that what you're saying? Okay, cool. I got that. Sorry, I was just trying to follow you. Okay.
But if you think about it, like, there are times in your life when, like, or at least mine specifically, where it's, you've been the lowest and all you needed was someone to listen and truly be there with you. And I think that even that is still servitude in that aspect. And so, like, I would say, like, yeah, you can come to my house and be spotless or be a mess and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but the time together is something that's bigger than me.
Okay, so both were serving in a different way. Mary was serving just by being with Jesus, and Martha was serving by doing things. So, yeah, interesting story. I'm sorry, we're running out of time. Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good portion. It will not be taken away from her. And, you know, it makes me think about, do we still get anxious and troubled by many things that distract us away from Jesus? What does that look like today?
Chaos.
What's that?
Chaos.
Being unsure.
Huh? Being unsure.
I think also Martha was slipping into feeling like a victim, and we can get there too, whereas Mary knew her position before. She wasn't so worried. Martha was like trying to earn that place with Jesus.
Okay, Martha was kind of slipping into being like a victim.
Yeah.
Versus
Mary was really secure because she knew she was received by Jesus.
Mary's, yeah, is secure in being received by Jesus. Okay. Is there anything wrong with serving Jesus? Making a meal, being hospitable.
No. I think sometimes we get
feeding the soul
Feeding
the soul is more important than feeding the body.
Okay.
Well, as I say, we sometimes what you're saying, what can happen is we get so busy serving with the busyness of our lives, we forget to spend that time with Jesus. So then that leads to resentment and frustration with our family or our ministry or whatever's going on. Because we haven't taken that time to rest in the Lord, and we're just so busy on pouring out that we haven't taken that time to just be filled with Christ so that we can continue to pour out.
Okay, I'm going to try to repeat this. That was really well stated. Sometimes we can be so focused on serving and pouring out and doing our ministries or taking care of these chores that we don't ever spend time with the Lord and be filled up. So that can lead to
resentment,
frustration,
bitterness.
Oh, rob us of joy.
I think in a way she was more of trying to earn Jesus's respect, but because we're imperfect, there's nothing we can do to earn it. So it would be more important to sit and listen rather than trying to earn your way there.
Okay. More important to serve, sit there versus try to earn your way. Okay. You know, isn't it amazing? Jesus is also referred to as the Prince of Peace, right? You guys all know that title for Jesus. The Prince of Peace comes into your house and you feel no peace. Is that a contrast or what? You're more anxious and troubled having the Prince of Peace in your home, robbing you of joy. Well, our passage this evening, I got to close because we've gone a little over here, is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. And so that's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. I believe that now you could probably go share that story with others, and I bet you have some ideas as you're chewing on this text. There's more things coming to mind, so I'm excited to hear what you all come up with or who you discuss it with. So, with that said, Lord God, Father, we thank you for this time together, and Lord, we want the good portion. We want the best part of the meal. Lord, we want to know you and be with you. Lord, we understand that hospitality is a trait of godliness and being a Christian, being in you. But Lord, we want to do it with joy. We want to sit at your feet. We want to be filled up by you. And so right now, Lord, we want to bring before you those things that make us anxious and troubled. Lord, we have heartaches. We have real distractions in our life, and we're not going to say, don't you care, because we know that you care, but we're going to ask you, Lord, to intervene. Lord, we want to place our burdens at your feet. And right now, if you're in here and you're burdened, you're anxious and troubled, you're distracted by many things, you're doing your best to be here, but you're troubled, you're burdened. I want you just to speak to the Lord right now. Lord, sometimes in our troubles, we can't even hear you because we're so distracted and we want to hear you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much and being so kind to teach us and minister to us. And I pray that you would give peace to each and everyone's heart. Ask this in your name. Amen. Lord, we're so grateful. Thank you for leading worship tonight. I really appreciate you guys. I didn't know you had that voice. Wow. Blessed by you. So thank you. Thank you for ministering to us and leading us in worship. And you know, it's amazing how troubles and trials and anxiety keep us from hearing Jesus. You know, it's the one thing that distracts us. But Jesus says, we're told in the scripture to cast all our anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. So I want to encourage with you that thanks for bearing with us as we went late tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.